Thank you. Amen. Good morning to each and every one of you. Let's all stand this time. We're going to sing our first hymn. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May his soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revive us again. Let's all sing at this time.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love. For Jesus, who died, is now gone above. Hallelujah, and the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and the glory. Revive us again.
All glory.
All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who have borne all our sins and have cleansed every stain.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That the glory. Revive us again.
Revive us again.
Revive us again. Fill his heart with thy love. May his soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, not the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, not the glory. Revive us again.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, not the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, not the glory. Revive us again.
And all God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to have Derek, deacon, to lead us in a word of prayer.
Amen. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see you here in the house of the Lord. We had a great week this past week.
Amen.
In the IBF conference, and I know many are tired. I understand that. But I pray you were refreshed as well. But, I'm going to say some words about that before I preach. But the Lord blessed, but we're glad to see you all here in the house of the Lord. Sister Tawana is out of town. I believe today is actually her birthday. Be praying for her that she behaves and that she comes back to us, I believe, next week. And there's others that are traveling as well. My family, we're going to take off next week, be away for a little bit just to get a little rest and relaxation and just get away, and then to come back full steam ahead. And so I'll inform you, and we got capable men. I praise the Lord for that. That'll stand behind the pulpit and teach on Wednesdays, and then you just pray that we'll come back. I'll come back rested and refreshed and rejuvenated and ready to go. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, we want to be in prayer for Gerald Jones Jr. Of course, he is on the list for a heart transplant, and he'll be in Nashville on Wednesday for a checkup. And of course, these are serious matter. Anytime you talk dealing with the heart, of course. And so. We want to pray for him, and Brother Gerald, Miss Diane, and a lot of the family are going to be there by his side. And so pray for their traveling mercies and for his health and for the doctors as well. Continue to be in prayer for the Tates, and Brother Tate, as he's recovering. And there's many others with health needs and different situations. And so we just, as I always say, want to be in prayer for one another. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, at this time we will ask the choir to come, and they have two selections.
Marvelous things, praise the Lord. He
Amen. Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that verse right there. Romans chapter 10, you know, verse 13, for you can put your name in it. You know, anybody can receive Christ as their personal savior. God is no respecter of persons. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. But now I was blind, but now I see. Amen. Let's all sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet a sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
What's grace?
Was grace that taught my heart to hear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first begun. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we're no less days to see God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Now I want you to think about some. And if you saved this morning, you ought to be thinking about how blessed you are. Amen.
Amen.
That he saved you. That he saved me. That he saved you. And he given us his Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
They didn't have that privilege in the Old Testament. Only a few of them did. But everybody who gets saved today, the Holy Spirit comes in and teaches us and guides us through all truth. And to think about that one day, when we meet the Lord in the air, that we're going to have a glorified body. I don't think y'all realize what that means. And we're going to have a glorified body. And we're going to be with him for all eternity. Amen?
Amen.
And no more pain. I don't know about you, but I got pain this morning. I'm sluggish. I don't know all kinds of stuff going on this morning. But I want to tell you something. All that going to be all over one day. No more pain. No more sickness. The Bible says that he's going to wipe every tear from my eyes. It's like God himself going to take a soft piece of tissue and just wipe every tear from my eye. That's amazing, ain't it? That makes us what we want to shout and praise him, amen. And I know a lot of you is probably still tired from the conference, but I tell you, Grace, you showed out. And I know Pastor's going to talk more about that, but you showed out. And I noticed different scenes that what all people put in this kind of work. I mean, from the kitchen, from cooking, serving the food, cleaning up the church. That's a J-O-B. It's hard. And then from the preachers, 20 hours to maybe preparing a sermon, the music. You know, it's so much, but God blessed, amen?
Amen.
And God haven't forgot about what you've done, so amen? And we're going to see the fruit of what God done in the near future, amen?
Amen?
So thank the Lord for that, and I just want to say that I'm so proud of our church. I'm so proud of everyone who the Lord touched in this thing, and it's just amazing, amen? I just want to say that from the bottom of my heart. I'm proud to tell people that I go at Grace Baptist Tabernacle, amen? I'm glad to tell them who my pastors are and what we believe, amen? And so I'm thankful for that. Okay, let me stop talking because I'm eating into people's time, amen? So let me go on with the announcements. We're going to ask the children ages 4 to 12 can go to the back, and there'll be a worker there to meet you down there. Reminder, CPR class will be on August the 3rd, okay, at 10 p.m. or 10 a.m., I'm sorry, not 10 p.m., 10 a.m., that's on August the 3rd. Sister Jones is going to have a meeting before that on July, okay, sometime in July, and she'll let you know when. And then if you have any questions, you can see her, Sister Jones. She'll be glad to give you more information about that. But so mark your calendars for that. Latest night of prayer will be on Friday, July the 5th at 6 p.m. on Zoom. Also, there'll be man's prayer breakfast on Saturday, July the 6th.
Will not be.
Okay. I see that will not. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself there. There will be none on July the 6th. Huh? No pancakes. Oh, dog, you messing me up now. Stop talking about food now. You know big men love food. Now stop that. There'll be no man's prayer breakfast on Saturday, August the 3rd because of the CPR class, okay? All right? So I'll be on that day. There'll be man's prayer breakfast resume on Saturday, September the 7th, okay? So everything start back September the 7th. Children's church workers, please check your email to make sure you're receiving an important email from the email address gbtchildrenchurch@gracebaptisttabchurch. Okay, so make sure you got that email there and everything going through there. If you do not see that email in your inbox folder, please check your spam or your junk folders. If you have any questions or concerns, please contact Sister Danielle Carter. She'd be glad to help you with that, okay? And birthdays, like I said, Tawana, she got a birthday on June the 30th. Michael Mitchell has a birthday on July the 2nd. Lorenzo Caldwell, July the 2nd. Danielle Carter on July the 8th. Amen. Amen. It's time we'll turn over to the pastor.
Before I preach, let me just say a word about this past week. Brother Bonner was mentioned. I'm proud of our church.
Amen.
I'm proud of you individuals. I know not every single person was involved in it, but as a church as a whole and for those who worked in the IBF in any way, I'm proud of you. I know not everyone is here today, but I want to just do this. And if I had a gift, if I had money that I could give to you, I would, but I don't. But I have a heart of thanks and gratitude, and I know the Lord will reward you. But I want to thank, first of all, our coordinator, Ms. Sister Linda Stinson. If you would stand up, Sister Stinson. I want to thank her because the preachers come in and they tell me what a great job I've done. And I told them, I said, no, I've got people that are in this church that are serving. And it started with Ms. Sister Stinson. Everything that took place in the conference, other than the preaching, she organized. And she got with you, and she got you to get with your ministries. Ms. Sister Stinson did that with every single aspect. In the past, Sister Dallas she assisted, but she turned it over to Sister Linda, and she did a wonderful job coordinating and organizing everything. All right, Sister Dallas is not here, but she was assisting her and also something else she did, I'll mention. The facilities, we want to thank the Joneses and others that worked with them. I'm just listening, because I'm going to try. I may not call everyone by name, but if you worked in a certain ministry, just I'll say raise your hand. The ladies get acquainted. My wife, Danielle Carter, and was anyone that worked with her, and then they may not even be here, I'm not sure, but if you were involved and that ladies get acquainted, just raise your hand so we can see you, and we want to thank my wife and those that worked there. And if you want, you can just hold your applause until the end, because I'm going down the whole list. The nursery. I think Sister Jones was the chair, but there was Sister Lewis, Sister Hardaway, Sister Higgins, others. If you did worked in the nursery and I missed you, just raise your hand. And I want to thank you all for working in the nursery and with the children. There was also the programs and the banners and the signs that Sister Stinson did all of these, all that work. And we want to thank her. The publicity, Sister Delilah, did a wonderful job with that. I want to thank the audio-visual team, Brother DeAndre Clark, Dre Clark in the back, Lorenzo Caldwell, Brad Bond helped. I know Mike, Jennifer, they do the camera, whoever, others that run those things. I want to thank you because, you know, there were people from all over, New York and California, that saw the in Bahamas that were watching, Anguilla, the islands, and that was because you all were able to put that together. I want to thank you for that. The choir. Brother Mike and Miss Tawana and all those in the choir, thank you for being faithful and being in the house of God. The choir blessed. I heard many people say, we love your choir. And I remember one man, he said the choir just set up the messages. It was a setup for the word of God. So we want to thank you all for your hard work in the choir. The registration team, if you were on the registration team, just raise your hand. Because I saw Sister Bonner and Sister Jefferson, Miss Patterson, Miss Patrick, all the Lord knows who you are. Thank you, because you all got here early. You're the first ones here usually. I want to thank you for that. The hospitality team under Sister Tawana, and these the ones, Sister Beck and Miss Patterson and Miss Patrick and others that were at the door greeting. And someone thanked me. I said, thank you for having those greeters. So we don't have to see your ugly face the first thing we come in the door. And so I thank the greeters, the hospitality, you were helpful, you're in your place, dressed nicely, and we want to thank you for that. Transportation, Brother Charles Stinson headed that up. There may have been others that worked with him, Ms. Patrick, and others that were willing to help Brother Darrell. But transportation, Brother Charles was here early taking the kids to across the way, and then listen, he had to pick up Dr. Earls. And if you know Dr. Earls, that's not the easiest task as well. But Brother Charles did his job, and he did a wonderful job. Amen. With that. The culinary, I call him the culinary crew. That's food, by the way. We're going to get fancy here. Brother Lewis and Miss Edith. And all, if you were involved, not just cooking, but in the kitchen, serving, cleaning, whatever, anything in with the food, would you just lift your hand up so we can see? Just go ahead now, come on. We thank the Lord for you. We praise the Lord for you. Because there's so many people that were involved. The youth activities. Many of you probably didn't even know because you didn't see these people. Miss Christina headed that up, Christina Bond. Miss Jennifer was with her every morning for, listen, 3 hours. Sometimes we go over time. But they're all in a gym with those children, teaching them the word of God. Miss Kizzy Evans was with them. Mike and Brad may have popped in, and there may have been others. Y'all call out names if I'm missing anyone, but we thank the Lord for you all, the hard work. And then in the evening, they came back in the church downstairs. Those people had to flip the kitchen. Thank you all for your hard work. I put a lot of pressure on you a little bit because I said we're going to use these rooms, we're going to eat, and we're going to flip it. And you all didn't, well, you may have complained behind my back, but you didn't complain. You didn't complain to my face, and thank you. Because I know I put a lot on you, and I thank you all for coming through for the glory of the Lord. Decorations, Miss Edith, I know Sister Jones, Sister Stinson, Miss Rosie, and Miss Victoria, and then Carolyn, Miss Carolyn. And if there was any others, you just lift your hand. We thank you for making the church look good. I heard people that were proud, that were bragging on the decorations. They're bragging on the cleanliness of the church. I heard that, multiple people. So it's important. And so we thank you for that. And then I want to thank Miss Carolyn, too. My wife said Janice Williams, y'all know Dr. Earl's daughter, she likes to joke around, and she was talking trash about me, and my wife said, Miss Carolyn didn't realize who she was. Miss Carolyn was about to fight. She said, you ain't talking about my pastor. And so I got a real one right there. Brother Dwayne, you used to be my favorite, but now it's Miss Carolyn, and out of the Caldwell crew. I'm playing, but yeah, she's taken up for me, but Miss Janice, she likes to play, and if you don't know her, you think, you just have to know her, and so that's fine. But I want to thank the ministers. These men helped me. If they weren't here, I would have to lead the singing, and I would have to do a lot of other things, but they helped me. The deacons and the trustees that were here, I want to thank all of you. And if I missed anybody, I apologize. And I know I have some names I didn't call, but if you were working in those groups, you know who you are. God knows who you are. And so we want to just thank the Lord for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, church, for that. And so now I just want to go ahead and get into the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go. We're not in Colossians. Let's give the Lord a hand for what he did. Go to 1 Kings. And this is a message I want to preach to the church. Well, I always do, but specifically, I'll read it and you'll understand where I'm going to go with this, I pray. But 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm going to read verse 1 through 8, because I believe after this time that we've had, we need to hear something like this. And you may say, well, listen, you know, I had to work, or I just, for whatever reason, I wasn't able to come to the IBF, but this is still going to be applicable to you when certain times in your life are going to resemble what I'm going to talk about here. So don't shut me out if you say, well, listen, you're preaching to the folk that served here this past week and I really wasn't a part of that. No, this is going to be applicable to your life, because there are going to come times in your life where you're going to be where Elijah was at. And so I want you to hear the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. And I'm going to begin at verse number 8. And there the Word of God says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And then verse 8 says, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. I'm going to say this title and I'll explain it after we pray. But I want to talk about this morning a message I've entitled this, a recipe for burnout. Mm. I'm going to show you some things that can lead to a believer being burnt out, and I'll explain what that means. But then we'll have a solution to it as well. A recipe for burnout. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your servants, for your body, the body of Christ. And thank you for this local assembly, a body of believers, Grace Baptist Tabernacle, how they've blessed so many people and how you use them to serve, Lord. And for some people that perhaps even found their niche in the church, where things that they're you've gifted them in. And so I pray that you'll continue to use each one, bless them, refresh them, Lord, especially after the week that we've had, and others that may have been involved in certain things just in life. And as we go through things in life, teach us how we can find rest and rejuvenation in you. For Lord, if we do not find it in you, we will be worn out and we will burn out. And so use your word to encourage us. If there's one here that is lost, I pray you would save them. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. a recipe for burnout. What is burnout? I looked it up, and one of the definitions says this: a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress, where a person feels overwhelmed, drained, and unable to meet constant demands in their situation. When we meet Elijah in our text, we see that he's just had a mountaintop experience on Mount Carmel, if you were to look at the previous chapter. Remember, there was a contest, in essence, between Elijah and the one true God versus, I believe, in total was 850 prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth, and the false prophets, I should say, and representing King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. And the one true God, they would pray that God would rain down fire from on heaven. Of course, the false prophets' guys did not do that, but Elijah's God, our God, brings fire down in an altar that was filled with water, licked the water up, consumed that altar, showing that he is, and the people acknowledge he is the one true God. And then they go out and they slay those false prophets. And on top of that, there had not been rain from the mouth of Elijah coming from God for, I believe, 3.5 years. And now the rain is coming. And so what I'm saying, Elijah is on a mountain, a mountaintop experience. And I mean that both physically, he was on a mountain, but also, you know what I'm saying, it represented he was on a high. A good thing. It was great. God was moving. God was working. He was busy. Things were happening from the Lord. But now when we get to chapter 19, he's come off the mountain. He's down in the valley. He comes to a city called Beersheba. And Carmel to Beersheba is probably a 100-mile journey, whether he journeyed on a donkey, by foot, whatever way. You know, he was, by this time, he's worn out. He is exhausted. And with everything going on, with his travels, he's exhausted physically, mentally, you could even say spiritually. And in Beersheba, Elijah wanted to take his own life. You could say this: Elijah was facing burnout. He was burnt out. And so we all have to come off the mountain and live in the valley, church. I believe we've just had a mountaintop experience at this church. From the anniversary with Brother Ronnie Brown preaching and all of you serving, all the way now here to this, the IBF. Listen, we've had wonderful services. We've met new people, new brothers and sisters in Christ who we've linked up with and felt with good, wholesome Christian fellowship, great preaching, great singing, wonderful service, people serving one another as God has called us to do. And then people coming together as a body of believers. I'm talking about this church as a team, as a body of believers, and serving the body of Christ. And we saw a plan come together, and it worked out beautifully in Christ for God's glory. So I want to use this time to warn you, and I want to use this time to encourage you. I want to warn you that if you're not careful, you'll let fatigue keep you down.
That's right.
And even it could turn into discouragement. But I want to encourage you that God can help you, and that, listen, he's got more for you to do, but you can find rest in him as well. Now, when I talk about discouragement, fatigue, exhaustion, weariness, burnout, these things often come after mountaintop experiences when we have to go down in the valley. But God shows us how to deal with these things. He shows us how to deal with burnout. And I'm so thankful that God's word has the answers to life's questions and problems. Now listen, Elijah was a mighty man of God who was used by the Lord in a wonderful way during his life and during his ministry, successful and victorious in so many ways. But listen, he still got discouraged.
Yeah, yeah.
He still got worn out. He still got tired, and he encountered burnout. Matter of fact, James 5:17 says, listen, we want to lift Elijah up and understand that. But James tells us, listen, he was much like you. For the Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he felt just like we felt. And he got the highs and lows he experienced just as we experienced. And so look what Elijah did when he got discouraged, when he got worn down. And we often do the same thing. Look at 1 Kings 19:3. It says, and when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Listen, he ran from his problems. He ran from his service and isolated himself from others. Listen, he just left his servant. in Beersheba, and he got all by himself. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't get alone sometimes and have some alone time, but it's not good if you stay that way. It's not healthy to stay in isolation. Amen. Especially when you're discouraged and when you're tired. And so my encouragement to you is don't isolate yourself, church. Listen, I'm so burdened when people are going through problems, when people are, they feel unappreciated, or when they're tired, they're fatigued, they're worn out, but in the midst of that, they won't come to church. They don't want to be around fellow believers, and this happened to all of us, but listen, the house of God is exactly where God wants you to be, but I can flip that around. Being out of church is exactly where the devil wants you to be. For the Bible says he is a roaring lion, looking for one that he can devour. And if you just take that picture that the Bible is painting for us, an animal who has strayed from the flock, you see where I'm going with this, an animal that's gotten away from the flock and is all alone is easier to devour than one that is in the midst of the fold. And so when you get away from the people of God, you're an easy target for Satan. And when you get tired or discouraged, listen, I urge you, you need Christian fellowship. Because yes. There you'll find someone that's been tired and discouraged too, and they may be tired and discouraged, and they need you to help pick them up, or they can tell you how God has brought them through. You need to hear the choir sing about Jesus. Yes. You need to hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Don't isolate yourself like Elijah did, because what happens next can happen to you. In verse number 4, it said, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And so he left his servant in Beersheba. He goes a day's journey into the wilderness. And so really that symbolizes he kept going. He went a little deeper into his discouragement. As I said, we are going to get discouraged, but God doesn't want us to stay discouraged. Okay, so, and let me say this, I'm basing this off of what we've done. I'm not talking to anyone. There are some people that have served the Lord for 30, 40 years in this church, and they're stepping aside from a ministry and letting others come through. I'm not talking to you, because I've taught you, you plan to be faithful in the house of God, and you plan to still serve in some way, shape, or form. And I say, God bless you and thank you for your service in those areas. And really, it's overdue that we it's fine that you're saying, listen, I've gotten to an age, I've gotten to a stage, and I've got to move on from this, and now it's time for others in the church to fill in the gaps. Amen. That's what the church is all about. I'm not talking to those people, but I'm talking to anyone in this church who is tired, discouraged, or feeling burnout, and in the back of your mind, you're ready to back away from service. You're ready to sit on the sidelines and do nothing. And maybe there's someone that's just ready to disappear and not come to church and be around the people of God. I'm encouraged you stay involved within his body. Amen. Listen, when we get tired in life and when we get tired in working for the Lord, we can only be rejuvenated by the Lord, find strength in the Lord. And so let me show you in Elijah's life, show you this recipe for why he got burnt out. And if we're doing the things Elijah is doing, we'll get discouraged, tired, and burnt out too. For one, he saw the wrong things. Elijah got burned out. He got discouraged. He got fatigued, whatever way you want to look at it, depressed, because he saw the wrong things. You find it in verse number 3. In 1 Kings 19:3, it says, and when he saw that, when he saw that. Well, you ask the question, when he saw what? Well, remember we read the first couple of verses. Jezebel said, listen, because of what you're doing for God, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do everything in my power, even basing that on my own life, I'm going to take you out. Mm-hmm. So when he heard, and you know, when he saw the news of Jezebel, what she was planning to do with him, when he saw those that opposed him, when he saw what his future could perhaps be, possible danger, troubles and problems, when he saw these things, he began to decline and he began to go deeper in his burnout, discouragement, and fatigue. It's always dangerous when you start looking at things, listen, problems, people, comparing the good times with the bad times, the highs and the lows. You start looking at that instead of the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Let me give you some examples. Exodus 14, when the Israelites were escaping Egypt and Pharaoh changed his mind and chased them, they were cornered. In front of them was the Red Sea, and behind them was Pharaoh's army. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10, listen to what the Bible says. It says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld. They saw the Egyptians. Marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And then they begin to complain. Here's what happens sometimes when we begin to get burnt out and tired. You begin to complain, do the blame game. They started putting it on Moses, begin to argue, begin to worry. They begin to fear. And if you skip to Exodus 14:13, it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still. And he said, see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, take your eyes off of the enemy and look to God. And he said, listen, for the Lord, he's going to fight for you. In verse number 14, the beginning of 14, he said, the Lord shall fight for you. What we look at, what you see, if you're looking at your problems, even if you're looking in yourself, your abilities or lack thereof, that'll lead a person to get burnt out.
Right.
Another example, remember in Numbers chapter 13 through 14, the Israelites were just about to enter into the promised land. They had 12 men to scout out that beautiful land. And in Numbers 13, verse 33, it said, and there we saw giants. What they saw. We saw giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. We were as grasshoppers in their sight. And then Joshua and Caleb said in chapter 14 and verse 9 of Numbers, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. They had to try to move the focus back on the Lord. And so what I'm telling you is when we get our eyes off of the Lord and on our work, even on our more so on our service, on other people, on the enemy, on our health, whatever the case may be, that is a recipe for burnout.
That's right.
It's a recipe for burnout. That's why the scripture tells us looking unto Jesus in Ephesians chapter 12. We walk by faith and not by sight. And you can put it this way, we walk by faith and not by feelings either. The only car wreck that I've ever been in my life, I'm a great driver, was because, and this was 20 years ago, I took my eyes off the road. Sad to say, I was in seminary going to Tennessee Temple and was cramming for a test and going through the Missionary Ridge tunnels. And I looked down and was trying to get the answer. And when I looked up, I was driving full speed and everyone else had stopped. I rear-ended a person. Because I took my eyes off the road. And I'm going to tell you as Christians, we get ourselves in trouble when we take our eyes off of the Lord. And anytime we get it on anything else, we are headed for a human car wreck, car accident, a disaster, destruction. So no matter what you're going through, and no matter how you feel today, get your eyes off of everything else and put them on Jesus.
Amen.
If not, that's a recipe for burnout. He saw the wrong things, but I want to notice something else that Elijah did. Elijah, he sought the wrong things. He was going after the wrong things. 1 Kings 19:3 says, and when he saw that, he arose, and what did he do? He went for his life and came to Beersheba. And verse number 4 said, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And notice he requested for himself that he might die. Elijah, the Bible says he went for his life. But then it says he requested for himself that he might die. Let me try to explain. In other words, he ran away to save his life. And then when he got where he was going, he asked that the Lord would take his life. What happens when we get our eyes off of the Lord? We begin to seek the wrong things. And listen, we begin not to think straight now. We begin to get confused, and then we begin to waver. A man who's not full of faith is unstable in all his ways. And now Elijah is saying one thing, but he's doing another thing. He's saying, listen, I want to save my life. And then while he's trying to save his life, he's saying, Lord, go ahead and take my life. What happens here is twofold. First, Elijah, if I'm being honest, Elijah was concerned about his own safety. And rightfully so, we all would be. If someone said, if you serve the Lord, I'm going to kill you, I'd be concerned about my safety too. But second, he was concerned with getting his own way. His primary concern was his own will and way. He thought that after the fire came from heaven and burned up that altar on Mount Carmel, and after the rain finally came at his word, it stopped and it came at his word. Listen, he thought that perhaps Ahab and Jezebel would follow and fear the one true God and even respect him, is what he thought. Maybe the people would respect him. But Jezebel, rather than respecting him, we already said, she said, I hate you and I want you dead and I don't care about your God. Oh, things didn't go Elijah's way. No one threw him a party. Life got even tougher after he was on the mountaintop. And rather than trusting God, who'd done miracles in the past and in his past problems and protected him up until that point from the same Ahab and Jezebel, and had just gotten slew all of those false prophets, rather than going to God for his help and support, he went to a juniper tree. He sat up under a juniper tree. Some call it a broom tree. And when I studied it, it's really, some say it's more of a brush or a bush more than it is even a tree. 6 to 8 feet tall. He was getting his comfort in the heat of that land that he was in. He went under that juniper tree, sat down. You say he had a little bit of a pity party. And he wanted the Lord to take his life for what he was doing. He was seeking the wrong things. Listen, church, we do the same thing. We seek the wrong things in life that always causes us to become discouraged, tired, and burn out. It makes us want to quit. Let me give you an example. God's called you to many, maybe to preach, to teach. It could be to sing, to serve, whatever is in your mind that God has on you. And you don't get the results that you thought you were going to get. You don't get the response from the folk that you were ministering to that you thought that you were going to get. And now you want to seek comfort, but many times rather than seeking comfort in God, we begin to seek comfort in the wrong thing because we were looking at the wrong thing. And now because we're looking at the wrong thing, we're going to seek the wrong thing. And so you go under your juniper tree and you sit down under your juniper tree that's barely providing you any shade, and you say, listen, I ain't going to do that no more. No one cared about me. I'm tired, worn out, I've been lied on, cheated, and talked about, mistreated, and I ain't even got King Jesus. And we go in isolation sometimes, or we get angry, and we dwell under the juniper tree of our anger, or we dwell under the juniper tree of our self-pity, or some go back to their old lifestyle, the juniper tree of their old lifestyle. Old habits, discouragement, and quitting. Listen, you're on the mountaintop, and even if it's not in the church, so to speak, but you didn't get that job that you wanted to get. The relationship didn't work out. People are doing you wrong, or you get sick. Life is hard. Things don't go your way. And rather than going under the everlasting arms of the Father, we go under the little bushes of a juniper tree. I'm not saying that you should never get discouraged. That's not real. We get discouraged. Because it's impossible for us with emotions to never get discouraged, but we ought not to stay that way. And listen, if you're seeking the right things and looking to the right person, the Lord will lift you out of that discouragement, and he'll lift you out of that fatigue and tiredness, and he'll stop you from getting burnt out. Seeking the right things means seeking Jesus. When things don't go your way, or when you get discouraged and when you're tired, here's what seeking the right thing may look like. I'll just give you some examples. It may just simply be you saying this, Lord, I trust that you're working everything out for my good, Romans 8:28, because I love you. And so no matter what's going on, I trust that you're working it out. It may mean, Lord, I only seek your approval and not the approval of anyone else. I'm not going to get worn down by lack of approval of man, because that'll wear you down. Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? What can I learn from this situation? How can I grow closer to you? It may be, Lord, I'm going to keep serving you anyway because you alone are worthy. You serve me in the greatest way, dying on the cross. How can I not serve you even when I am about to hit burnout? And then the best thing we can simply acknowledge is simply this, Lord, what does John say? Without him, I can do nothing. And I need your help. I need your help. You see, it isn't about you and what you want, but it's about God and what he wants for you. And his will and way for your life is always better than your will and way for your life. Elijah ran away from the Lord. He sought what he wanted. But I'm telling you to run to Jesus and seek what he wants for you. And he will restore your joy. He'll give you strength that you can find nowhere else. Elijah, we'll find out, but he wasn't finding any rest, any strength where he was at under the juniper tree until we come to, we'll get to the last thing in just a minute, but let me give you the third thing that'll lead to burnout. When you look at the wrong things, when you seek the wrong things, but thirdly, we see that he said the wrong things. Elijah said the wrong things. Verse number 4, in the middle there, it says he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And so what we find is first, Elijah requested death. And so maybe you're not there today, but maybe you just say, "It's enough. I'm on the battlefield for the Lord, and I'm about to put up my weapons and my holster and take my boots off, and I'm going to sit, and I'm tired, and I'm discouraged," whatever the case is. And you, like Elijah, you say, "It's enough, O Lord. It's enough." He was telling God, here's what he was saying, "I can't do it anymore. Amen. I'm a prophet. You've called me to do this. You want me to keep serving in this way, but I cannot do it anymore. I've had enough. I quit." You ever been there before?
Yes.
Here's the problem. We don't decide what is enough. God does. I know that's hard for some of us to hear. God's the one that'll decide that for us.
Amen.
Because when we want to quit, God may have a blessing or a miracle for us just around the corner if we only wait on him. He knows your situation. He's not done with you. And so he says, "Keep trusting me." But many times we fall short a little too soon.
Yeah.
Notice what else Elijah said. He said, I'm not better than my fathers. I'm not better than my fathers. Well, the first thing you could ask is, who told him that he was anyway? Church, stop comparing yourself to others. He said, "I'm not better than my fathers," but listen, that'll always lead to burnout. That'll always lead to discouragement when you compare, when you compare your church to that church, you compare yourself to this person, your ministry to that person's ministry. Listen, that'll always discourage you. And you say, "Well, she's having more success than I am." But listen, God is not going to judge you on your success. He's going to judge you on your faithfulness.
Amen.
I don't find anywhere in the Bible where he's judging on success. He's judging on your faithful. Because listen, it's not us that brings about success anyway. As an example is that is that some planted, some watered, but you didn't save nobody. He brings the increase.
Amen.
He's not going to judge you. Truly, with all your heart, and this probably won't happen if someone really would, but for every day witness for all your life with a pure heart and with the gospel, and no one ever gets saved in the 80 years you live, and when you go to heaven, he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you were obedient to me in what I called you to do."
Yes.
So you just serve where he's called you.
Yes.
Keep your eyes on the Lord and leave the rest to him.
Yes.
As long as you're doing it with the right heart and with a love for God, don't worry about the results. You just do what God has told you to do, and he'll take care of the results. And then watch it. Watch what you say, church. Aren't you glad God doesn't always grant your prayer requests? Elijah said, "Take my life." But Elijah, if you looked at the end of his life, he'd be so much happier. He didn't even have to die as he was requesting. The Lord took him up in a whirlwind of fire, chariots of fire. Sometimes we say stuff and say, "Lord, I wish you would just take me out of this place." And then we look back 10 years later and say, "Lord, I thank you for not granting that request. Lord, I wish you would just get this person out of my life. I wish you would do this or do that." And in our frustration, you have to watch what you say, because if we're not careful, sometimes, as he did with Israel and King Saul, sometimes he will give you what you ask for. "Want a king, want a king, want a king, want a king." All right, there's Saul. "We don't want a king anymore." Notice we read in verse number 5, "As he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat." Listen, Elijah was physically exhausted from his long trip from Carmel and all the events that happened. And so in the wilderness, he sat down under a juniper tree. He went to sleep. And while he was sleeping, he had a visitor, a heavenly and angelic visitor. And verse number 7, it says the angel of the Lord. And whether this was just an angel, or some have even hypothesized that this is a theophany, which is a physical manifestation of God himself. But whatever way you want to look at it, God showed up when Elijah was down. God showed up when Elijah was down. When Elijah went missing, God was still present. And listen, if you are on the verge of burnout in your life, if you're on the verge of discouragement, depression, I'm telling you, God is, he's there with you. Now let me give you a couple of practical things you should do when you get tired, when you get discouraged, and when you're headed for burnout. Let me give you the solution for burnout. I'll give you these two, and then we'll close. These are practical, but we'll draw spiritually from them too. First thing you need is one word, is rest.
Yes.
Rest.
Amen.
1 Kings 19:5 says, and as he lay and slept. In verse number 6, the angel laid him down again. Go back to sleep. And so the Lord found him sleeping. Now notice this. Elijah gets out of there. He's discouraged. He's sitting under the juniper tree. The Lord finds him sleeping, but he didn't wake him up and say, get up, lazy. He didn't say, hey, get up and go back to work. What you doing sleeping? No, God knew that the prophet had expended all of his physical energy and was worn out. And what Elijah needed simply was a break.
Yes.
And God knew this. And he allowed the prophet to rest. Let me just give you a practical truth. It's just a reminder. God never intended these bodies to run like many of us forced them to. And God didn't intend us to have an IBF 365 days a week, because none of us would be here. That's a special occasion for 3 or 4 days. And then some of you working on your job, some of you things that you do throughout the year, whether it's ministry related or not, sometimes it's just good to go get you some sleep. Sometimes it's good to go out of town, get away on vacation, turn off your phone and just rest. Did not God himself teach us, even in the first book of the Bible in Genesis, and of course for him it wasn't even real work, he just spoke the worlds into existence. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he created man out of the dust of the earth, and then on the seventh day, what did God do?
Rest.
He rested. Not because he was tired, but he was showing us, and he would throughout the Bible. Of course, it was pointing to something else, to Jesus, but listen, he's teaching us that even physically our bodies need rest. Now let me say this about rest. I'm telling you, I always say this to church members, because a lot of people are out of town now. Some folk may be at home sleeping, whatever the case is. Go on a vacation, but just come back. Go on a vacation. That's fine. I'm going on a vacation. Just come back and don't waste all your money so you can give unto the Lord. But let me put this, when we rest, because don't take this the wrong way, it must not be resting from the Lord. It ought to be resting in the Lord. Some people hear me saying rest, and they say, oh, good, I'm going to quit my ministry for about a year, and then, now I'm not saying that. You may need to take a week or two, or you need to do something, but you still ought to be operating within the confines of Christ, in the Lord. You can rest. The preachers, you say, Pastor Robinson, you get tired, sometimes you get tired, in the ministry, but you don't get tired of it, or I may have that flipped around, but you work in the ministry, you get tired in the ministry. And I'm not, of course, Pat, but if you're saved, you're in the ministry.
Yeah.
But you ought not to be tired of it, because Christ is there with you.
Yeah.
All right, so rest. Take a vacation. Go to sleep. Turn off the TV. Go to bed early. Get you some rest. Let someone else say, hey, listen, you sing for me this week. I'm just resting. And I'm going to be back, though. I'm not quitting. I'm resting.
Yeah.
Here's the second thing. The word is refreshment or replenishment. This is practical, and I'm going to give a spiritual truth, but verse 5 says, the angel said, arise and eat, said that to Elijah. In verse number 6, he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and then he laid him down again. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. Let him sleep on a couple occasions. Let him eat and drink the water on a couple occasions. And God made him eat it. This angel made him eat it because he said the journey is too great for thee. And in verse 8 it says, and he arose and did eat and drink. Now listen, this is obvious, church, but sometimes you get worn out, you just need to eat. Sometimes we get so busy. We literally you forget to eat. And then I can add on that, we need to eat right. And eat in moderation, but our bodies need food, and so when we don't eat at all, or when we don't eat properly, it will affect your entire being.
Amen.
It'll affect how you feel about ministry, how you feel about folk, because when our bodies aren't in the proper state that God has created them to be in, because we're not sleeping, we're not resting, we're not eating, or we're not eating properly, it'll affect your mind all the way down to your toes, and people will know it too. They say, you need to go take a nap and go get you some candy or something. Go grab you an apple.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to eat. But once you've rested and then been refreshed and eaten, God has something for you. Notice verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Notice the admission. The journey is too great for thee. You're going to have to journey, but I'm just letting you know already. You're tired already, but I'm still letting you know the journey that you're about to take is too great for you. That's why you need to rest, and that's why you need to eat for your strength. And when God spoke to him about the journey, God was saying that he was not through with Elijah. And I'm telling you, God is not through for you. There's some that are involved in service. And what I want to do as your pastor is encourage you. The IBF may not be here, but keep serving in the church.
Amen.
Keep serving.
Amen.
God's not through with you.
Amen.
God, if you have the ability and the talent and you sacrifice your time, serve the Lord. Serve the body of Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
Keep serving. He said the journey is too great for me, but he said there's a journey. He wasn't through with Elijah. He had more for Elijah to do. And so, yes, he in a sense, Elijah had failed God, but God had not forsaken him. And listen, God was going to give him strength.
Amen.
Now, in chapter 19, in verse number 8, again, he said, he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights under Horeb, the mount of God. And so he did get up. And he did, after he ate and drank. But notice, The scripture says that he went, and it was 40 days and nights under Horeb. Now, you know the number, I'm not getting mystical when I talk about numerology, but that number 40 oftentimes speaks of testing. So what you have to understand is even when you get your rest and your refreshing, God may put you on your journey and they're still going to be testing.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first thing Elijah had to do, 40 days, 40 nights, and he's traveling, but God had something for him still. Elijah was a prophet, but he was just a man. He got discouraged. He got burnt out. We see him telling God, listen, I quit. Take my life. And he ran from what he was supposed to do. He experienced burnout. But ultimately, we find that rest and replenishment is only found in the Lord. Notice when in that scripture it says that in verse number 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. The food that he got came from the Lord. And what I'm trying to tell you is yes, physically you need to eat and physically you need to sleep, but your sustenance must come from the Lord. You must be in the Word of God even when you get tired, and you must go to the Lord. Listen, Elijah is an example of someone with burnout. He was a great man. He was a prophet, and he wanted to quit. But one day, a prophet greater than Elijah came.
Mm.
And he was also not just a prophet. He was a priest and a king.
Mm.
He was Jesus.
Amen.
He was God himself in the flesh. And listen, he took upon himself a physical body.
Yeah.
And if anyone could have been discouraged, if anyone could have faced burnout and depression and quit, it would have been Jesus. For the Bible says that the Creator came unto his own and his own received him not. Listen, he lived every day of his life knowing that his life would end in the most painful and humiliating death in human history, even though he didn't even deserve it. Yet when it came time for him to face that day, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and unlike Elijah, who left his servant in Beersheba, and then Elijah went on in his discouragement, went a little further from God into the wilderness, the Bible says that Jesus had his disciples with him at Gethsemane. Jesus didn't leave them, they left him. They fell asleep, and then when the heat came, all disciples ran. But Jesus went a little further. He didn't go further into burnout, but he went further and went to God. He went to his Father, and in the garden he prayed, saying, let this cup pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And what he did is he didn't just meet our physical need, but he met our greatest need. And that's spiritual. We're sinners that needed a Savior. And I'm so thankful that Jesus did not let discouragement, fatigue, pain, or burnout keep him from doing what he was called to do. Listen, he died on the cross for you, and he died on the cross for me. And listen, he rose from the grave, and now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he is given a name which is above every name. And one day every knee shall bow, and listen, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And now what he tells you is the same thing that he tells Elijah. The journey is too great for you. I'm going to leave you with this now. The journey is, and listen, when it comes to salvation, the journey for you to get yourself saved is too great for you. There's not a journey that you can make, but what you have to do is go to Jesus. And what, Brother Ray, what did he say? You have to partake of my body and of my blood. Not being a cannibal, but applying the gospel to your life. And in order to get on the journey and find any help and strength on the journey, you can't save yourself. You can only come to Jesus.
Amen.
And he can save you. If you repent and put your faith in Jesus, he will save you. Amen. And that, now notice this, he'll give you rest.
Amen.
Let me give you the scripture. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me.
Amen.
All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, if you're not here, you're watching online, and you are not saved, your soul and your spirit, there's no rest. But the only way to find true rest is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Watch this. I know I'm talking to a lot of saved folk, and I'm about to close. Once you're saved, you still may grow weary. You're going to get tired. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to want to quit. You want to bow out. But listen, he is a God that when you look to him and trust him, he will supernaturally give you strength to keep you going. Listen, even in the Christian life, the journey is too great for you.
Amen.
You're called to be a Sunday school teacher. The journey is too great for you.
Amen.
I'm called to preach. The journey is too great for me. You're called to serve and to clean and do the journey. You can't do it in and of yourself, just as he told Elijah. But listen, if you go to him and stay in his word and bow down and say, Lord, without you, I can do nothing and I need you. He will give you the strength. Listen, he can and he will take you out of the pit of despondency, because if he can raise himself up from the grave,
Amen.
He can lift you out of the pit of discouragement, fatigue, and burnout. And then I hear him say through Paul in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap. Listen, if you faint not, if you faint not. The recipe for burnout is simply this: when you see looking at the wrong things, you're seeking and then you're saying the wrong things. But the solution is this: see Jesus and seek Jesus in all of your problems and say, Lord, I'm totally depending upon you and trusting on you and waiting on you. And then he'll do as Isaiah 40:31 says, he'll renew your strength when you wait on him. And listen, there'll be times he'll cause you to mount up with wings as eagles. Then there's times you may not be able to soar. You say, preacher, I'm a little tired, but that's fine. You may not fly, but he may cause you to run and not be weary. And sometimes, some of you feeling like this now, the only thing you can do is walk.
Amen.
But he'll cause you to walk and not faint.
Amen. Amen.
If you wait on the Lord, acknowledge that you need him and make up your mind to commit to him and be faithful to him. He'll give you the strength and the rejuvenation that you need. Church, say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand for a time of invitation. If there's someone here that's lost, you need rest. You can't find it apart from Christ. And so this is online. If you're in the building, I invite you. If you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'll have some men at the front. You can come and they can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. But maybe you're tired. You're saved. You say, I'm tired. And I need his strength. You're tired in your situation. You're weary in your service. I'm just tired from last week. Whatever the case is, maybe you want to come and pray and say, Lord, give me the strength. Whatever area God has spoken to, give me the strength to keep going on. Give me the strength. I need it, and I don't have it in my. The journey is too great for me. In my finances or in my this sanctification, as I'm trying to grow. Whatever it is, the journey is, I know the journey is too great for me, Lord, but I need you to feed me and sustain me. There's some that are praying. If God has spoken to you, you come and you pray. We don't have music. We don't have to have music to pray and talk to the Lord. Amen. So I'll give us just a moment to pray and ask God to be your strength. Wait on the Lord. That just simply means keep trusting him while you're still serving him and wait for him to direct you. Whatever your situation is, I said this is applicable to everyone. I'm not just talking about what we went through this past week. I'm saying in your life, are you tired? Are you weary? Are you about to face burnout? You're about to quit? It happens. But you go back, get out from under the juniper tree and get under the everlasting arms of Jesus. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word and the example of Elijah. And of course, I didn't mention this, but because Elijah was obedient and the burnout didn't take place, just right around the corner, you had Elisha waiting right there for him. One of the next things you did was you said, I've got some help for you. And Lord, there may be some folk that are struggling today, but you've got something for them. It may be their Elisha, whether it's a person or some type of blessing or just the strength that you're going to give. Lord, had Elijah just given up, who knows what would have happened. But because he kept pressing on, you gave him Elisha and many others. And we know the testimony of both of those men. And so, Lord, help us to press on. Help us to rest when we need to rest. Help us to take care of our bodies and eat and exercise, all the things we need to do, Lord. But then, Lord, help us to do all of that simply so that we can continue to serve you and live for you and serve the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you for this church, for each member, for their faithfulness, for those that their service and hard work. Give us rest. Help us to find it in you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, church. Amen. All right. We have back to our normal Wednesday service, Bible study, this Wednesday.